proposals to possibly tweak some of the repayment programs that we currently have now, like public service loan forgiveness or income-driven repayment programs, as if those are new ideas, when in fact we've been tweaking and fixing these broken proposals for a couple of decades now, and no one has gotten relief from these proposals, which is why we're calling on full student debt cancellation. And there's also been a huge conflation of canceling all student debt with the end-all solution of making college free. No, that would require legislation, but you know, the $10,000 proposal, I think, is sort of a way that the Biden administration and neoliberals think that they can sort of thread a needle of appeasing the right while satisfying the left, when in actuality, it's just going to frustrate everyone. And so they should really just go big, cancel all of it, right? If student debt is illegitimate, if student debt is illegitimate, why not cancel all of it? And if it's legitimate, then why would you cancel just 10,000?
Well, Braxton Brewington, of course, we're going to continue to cover this issue, press secretary of the Debt Collective, and Pamela Hunt, former student of the for-profit Corinthian Colleges chain who took part in the historic student debt strike in 2015. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
Cebu Community Radio is looking for a full-charge bookkeeper. Do you have accounting and administrative experience? Do you enjoy working in a highly collaborative team environment? Are you looking for a workplace with a mission? Or do you know someone who is? Go to kboo.fm to learn more about the essential functions of the full-charge bookkeeper and the qualifications we are looking for. To apply, please email your resume and cover letter to hiring@kboo.org by Sunday, June 12th at midnight. You can also apply by mailing your resume and cover letter to Cebu Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Cebu's financial health is our focus. Help us foster it.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the freshly off the mountaintops.
Ooh.
The effervescent, the evergreen, Althea Billing.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy to be back. It's true, I was on a mountain, and I've been doing some physical recovery over the past few days. Couldn't dance as hard to the theme song as I wanted to, because I do have a pretty nasty crick in my neck.
Oh, no.
But I'm glad to be back here with you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've missed you. We've all missed you. I miss being on the air. I saw, as I walked by, there are so many thank you letters from listeners, from KB listeners. And I guess since there's a bit more activity in the station, they started, you know, someone putting, another volunteer is putting them up on the wall, and they're just so nice. And it made me feel really nice. Like, people really, really enjoy the music.
Yeah.
And some of the public affairs, sure. But I'm like, yeah, music. It speaks to, it just, It made me happy. And I'm like, yes, music exists, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, not to get too off track here, but that I love, especially about, like, cable music shows, is that even if it's a genre that I'm not, like, familiar with necessarily, mm-hmm. even if I don't know the song, it's our DJs make it interesting anyway. Like, I get into the story of
it,
you know?
Oh, yeah, their stories, for sure.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, on that note, we do want to thank everybody who helped support us in our most recent spring membership drive.
Buzz, buzz.
No more bee puns for a little while.
For now.
But we do really appreciate everybody who helped to support us, and we're very happy to be back with you. And, hey, would you believe it's June?
Yes, June, it has begun. It's upon us. I have, like, a mosquito bite or two.
I have a lot, but I was outside for 5 days.
Right, that's right. Yes, you know, considering that this is just, like, so it's a nice way to break into the topics that we're going to be covering today, because they're really difficult. Yeah. It's been a really difficult time.
Some
and
heavy stuff.
Folks who may be unfamiliar with the show, we break it up into two sections, in where we either have a round table discussion about a news roundup. I always say round table discussion. A news roundup or an interview, and then for the second part, we do a community question, and then we open up the phone lines for you, the community, to talk and discuss the community question.
Yes.
And today we are going to be doing, we don't have an interview, but we'll be talking about all of the things. Well, again, so many things have happened, so we'll try to just kind of focus on one angle of the many conversations that are being had everywhere around gun control, shootings, mass shooting. I mean, so many of them. And there have been some pretty ridiculous things being said as far as responses for why is this happening? We just can't understand why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Inanimate objects they don't harm people. So it's, some of the conversations are like, what?
Yeah.
It's the congressman, what's his name?
We have a little clip. Do we want to jump into that clip? Let me find his name.
Sure,
really
yes. Billy Long.
From, I believe,
right up the street, or right across the way.
No, he's from Missouri, I think.
Oh, Missouri, sorry.
Basically, so there's a lot of, we've seen a lot of really heinous mass shootings recently. Buffalo, Uvalde are definitely the ones that are best known. Tulsa was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Hospital.
I had missed that.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there's just been a ton of it happening, and not to talk too much about my time off the grid, but right, Uvalde happened right before I left, and then when I got back into service, I was like texting my mom, and she was just telling me all of these heinous details that had emerged in like the week since, and just the way that people, and that the NRA convention was
held in
Texas like the next day, and you know, all of these, I mean, we'll talk about them, but just these really troubling and wild details about the way that this has been shaking out. And you know, there's not even necessarily time to like actually digest it, but we certainly do have certain Congress people, Missouri Representative and Senate candidate Billy Long, who said some interesting, who has an interesting take on why gun violence is a problem in the United States. And it's definitely not that we have more guns than any other country just laying around. No, that's not part of it. Do you have the clip?
I do have the clip. It just,
well, you set it up how you want.
Yeah, well, it just, this was said on a radio show, so it really makes me happy that, like, that no one ever says this type of stuff on our radio show and actually means it.
Hmm.
So I am going to go ahead and play it.
To my knowledge, none of those shootings were done with any kind of Armalite rifle or AK or anything like that. So it's a systemic problem. When I was growing up in Springfield, you had one or two murders a year. Now we have 2, 3, 4 a week in Springfield, Missouri. So something has happened to our society. And I go back to abortion, when we decided it was okay to murder kids in their mother's wombs. Life has no value to a lot of these folks.
Well, he said that. He said it, and he knew. He said it soberly, I think, in the broad daylight of the truth. He said this, and I can't believe that What? Is he okay? Someone needs to go check up on him.
I can imagine he was pretty proud when he figured out how to draw that line between the two.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make a lick of sense.
No, it makes no... This is a person who was elected. This is a person who makes decisions for the masses.
Yeah.
No, that's terrifying.
He's in Congress. Yeah. Said fully.
What is this? What does this say? Like, how does this make you feel, Fia?
It makes me feel pretty frustrated. But I also feel like, because... So two things. One, I have this impulse to just debunk. You know what I mean? Like, let me show you all the ways that is obviously not the case. But to do that grants the premise. You know what I mean? I don't even want to say, like, well, here's all the reasons that is an illogical, silly, and insulting thing to say. But that would grant the premise that is even worth, like, discussing. You know what I mean? Not to mention that the timelines don't line up. Not to mention that you don't see women who've had abortions committing mass murder, massacring people with guns. It's almost exclusively men that do that. So, I'm not going to go down the road. We all know that it's silly, and to entertain it as part of it is goofy. But I can link this Vanity Fair article that does some good debunking.
All these senators and all these folks are in a silly, goofy mood after children have been massacred. So it's really just, it's very bizarre that they're saying all these things. The other one about arming the students, my God. That's the next step in the logic, right?
As soon as they actually get teachers to have guns and it doesn't stop anything, and they accidentally shoot, like, an innocent child, it's like, well, the kid should have also had a gun.
So. Exactly. What was the kid wearing? And it's just so bizarre that what these folks do all their campaigning around is, like, CRT.
That's
what's endangering your children,
and you know,
right?
What else? Don't say gay.
God forbid. God forbid.
Happy Pride Month, by the way.
Right, yes.
We'll get there.
Oh yes, this is just the tip of the iceberg of ridiculous things that
hypocrisy. Today's kind of a hypocrisy themed show.
That's you know, I like the theme. It's good to have a through line.
Yeah. Sorry, continue. I keep cutting you off.
No, it's go ahead, please. It's because I just so that I have my hand on the button just in case we get really out of control.
Yeah.
I have friends who are teachers, and I don't even want to do this whole, like, I know a teacher, and my best friend is a teacher, and they would never, but it's like, I don't really see the crossover between them. First off, you know, when we were talking about this, first of all, are these guns going to be free? Because my friends who are teachers, most of their salary goes to, like, buying school supplies.
Yeah.
Is this part of the school supplies that I'm also going to have to get?
Yeah.
You know? And what happens the second that a gun goes up missing? And also, if we're really going to start talking about, doing this ridiculous thing, what kind of culture is that going to breed in schools? What kind of culture is that going to breed in, like, education? And of course, if we want to see, well, let's see what happens if we do give a gun to someone who's supposed to, that we entrust you with a gun and that's supposed to, like, calm situations down and fight off an active shooter. What happens? We see what happens. We do have something like that. It's called the police, and we see what happens.
Yeah.
You know? And what would happen to the most vulnerable school? What would happen to schools that have mostly black or brown children?
Mm-hmm.
We see what happens, you know? It's just so, so nonsensical. I don't even know if this is a metaphor or an allegory or something, but it's like taking a drill, right? And trying to just, like, poke holes in the wall for the sunlight to come through instead of just turning on the light, and, you know, that's just right there.
I like that. That's very evocative.
You're welcome. That's an original right here.
Damn, you made that one right off the dome.
It came out of my heart.
Yeah, no. And yeah, to talk a little bit about this. So obviously what we're seeing is the shifting of blame, and that it doesn't, you know, if you're in conversations with people who are really not in favor of any kind of gun control in your life, you will probably see them try to do this shifting blame thing, and it's really tempting to go there with them. And I would recommend or say that it's probably better to just not even grant them the premise. But I think that, like, Because they haven't even played it all the way out. They haven't even done the mental math themselves, you know? They don't know teachers and what teachers are already going through.
Isn't
it's a really hard job.
To see a gun in a school?
Like, yeah. And first of all, if we're worried about school shootings, definitely giving a bunch of teachers who are managing like a zillion things at once a firearm that they have to keep, are you going to give them a gun safe like in the classroom? Like suddenly now you just have like guns at school for kids to take. You know, every public school kid has stolen an Expo marker or chalk or something. Like everybody swipes stuff. What do you mean? Now you've just got a bunch of guns in the school ripe for the taking, right? Are they going to train them? Are they going to pay them more? Is there a special certification? That's silly. There's so many things about it that don't make sense. Also, like, everybody's had the experience in, like, middle school or something, like, oh, yeah, that's the teacher that, like, threw a chair at a kid.
Oh, I've seen plenty of chairs. They got really out of control.
Yep. They, like, lost their cool or whatever, and then they either fired or didn't get fired. But, oh, suddenly now they have a lethal weapon at this kid that is, like, tormenting them for a year. Wow. That definitely will improve that situation. Teachers already are doing too much. And then just imagine the psychological impact on your kid. Like, you're already having kids doing the mental math of, I'm going to school today. I have to, we're doing a school shooting drill. I better remember this stuff in case some random person comes in. Some grown adult comes in to murder a bunch of fourth graders. Like, we better be ready for that kind of thing. And then also, you know, kids being like, you know, my teacher hates me, or like, my teacher's out to get me, or I hate this class. And suddenly that teacher that you resent and you're worried about has a gun. Like, how is that going to have kids want to go to school? Like, there's so many ways, like, if we grant the logic that even remotely is a piece of something that makes sense, it doesn't make sense. Not even a lick. And that the cops in Uvalde sat around and did nothing for an hour. They did nothing for an hour. Now they're not cooperating with the federal investigation.
But I thought cops are all about compliance. You gotta comply. Don't resist.
The cops would want you to say. And then they released this press statement. They're like, yeah, and we didn't shoot a kid. It's like, nobody was thinking that you shot a fourth grader, but now it kind of seems like you did because you brought it up, and now you won't talk to anybody about it.
It makes it their behavior. I mean, I don't even want to skip step speculate, so I won't even. But after they said that, their behavior made I was like, oh, okay, there something happened. That
there's definitely something.
Something had happened that because
was not about. I mean, and not even just that you sat outside while children were being murdered, and you had the power to do something and you didn't.
Well, they arrested some of the parents. That's
yeah. Didn't they like pepper spray and tase a couple parents? They're like, hey, calm down, your kid's dying in there. Be cool.
Jesus.
It's grim. It's grim stuff. I'm really sorry.
No, I'm looking at this article right now from Insider because I had, also right before in Amy Goodman had mentioned something and I was like, oh, right. In saying that, even in, as far as cops go, why would they want more guns in the streets? And I was like, oh. That's
yeah, true. Who's going to want to be a cop if every teacher has a gun? And also then does it go to, like, you know, the staff,
so ridiculous.
The administration? Oh. Does the office lady have to open carry?
Well, these are, like, not... Jeez.
Sorry.
In a school, you know?
In a school.
You know, I looked at the Observer, opened the Observer newspaper, and they... get my little coffee and I, you know, open up the newspaper, very 90s, you know. I'm stuck in the 90s, I just am.
So retro of you to real newspaper.
A real newspaper, yeah. And I opened up the middle page and they had two pages in color of kids and I was like, oh my God, another shooting, you know, and it wasn't, thank God. It was just the seniors, like honor roll students from all the high schools that were graduating. And I was like, what is happening that was like my first thought but why wouldn't that be my first thought?
Yeah, your knee-jerk reaction to seeing the portraits of a bunch of students.
Yeah.
Oh, they must have been in a school shooting.
Yeah. And I was and then I said, oof, okay, honor roll. And I was like, you know, never been so happy to see honor roll students, you know.
And congrats to the honor roll students. Congrats to the graduators.
Yes, we did it. We did it, Joes.
High school students, college students, whatever you're graduating, we're proud of you.
Yes. And you did it alive, so, you know.
Yeah. Jeez.
And a tear just right down my face. I said, we got to do better than this.
Yeah.
Got to do somehow. And we can. But I'm reading this article on Insider. I forgot where I had heard it. But there was a conversation around NRA.
We could do some good word association with that if we really wanted. Let's not. NRA.
They were talking about, I forgot what show it was on, but it was on KBOO, and they were talking about just like the developments of guns and all this type of stuff, and how the NRA is like, that the government is not beholden to the NRA, and we need to like stop saying that because it's not true. And they had mentioned something about the designing, because they have the AR-15, which is, you know, a serious weapon. And the show mentioned that they had made like a junior version of it. I'm like, no way. Like, there's no way that this is true. And I'm reading, and it's actually true. And the manufacturer claims that it, end quote, operates just like mom and dad's gun. It's from WEE1 Tactical. And say that from the press release, it's these people are saying these things and are like standing behind them. Jeez.
Yeah.
We believe that this introduction early will produce deep respect for firearms that continue and last for a lifetime of safety.
Interesting that safety is the last word.
And the advertisement on it says smaller, safer, lighter.
Yeah.
And it, are you seeing this?
I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at a different thing, but.
It has like a picture of a skull with a pacifier.
Oh.
And like little braids or something.
Oh,
little,
boy.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe it, but yes, there it is. I'm putting it in our little.
Yeah, I'll look at it. I was also going to mention that a woman who was wounded in the mass shooting in the New York City subway last week filed a lawsuit against Glock, the manufacturer of one of the handguns.
Someone's getting sued.
Tammy's prescient motto for the year, I guess, is suing the maker of the handgun, Glock, basically saying that the manufacturer needs to be held liable because it, quote, endangered the public health and safety with its marketing, distribution, and sales of guns, basically accusing them of reckless disregard for human life. And saying that their marketing, quote, emphasizes firearm characteristics such as their high capacity and ease of concealment that appeal to prospective purchasers with criminal intent. This is The Guardian. I'll link it on our show notes. There was another one that I was reading that about this lawsuit that was saying that even just the way that they were sold, because they were, you know, like marketed to cops, but that they manufactured more of these type of guns than could possibly be used by, you know, the cop industry, I guess.
The intended market, quote unquote.
Right. And so then they created this whole black market secondary sale situation to try to appeal to people who want high capacity. And it claims Glock is aware that its design is, quote, unsuited to personal defense or recreation, enables an individual in possession of the weapon to inflict unparalleled civilian carnage.
Is this a quote by them, or is this like
this is a, that's a quote from the lawsuit.
Wow. That's
I'll check
in the broad daylight, the sobering broad daylight of the sobering broad daylight. I don't know.
Yeah, and that might be the future of this, because we're not seeing that federal lawmakers are willing to do much of anything about this. But there was that successful lawsuit from Sandy Hook parents about the manufacturer of that of the gun that was used to murder their kids.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'm looking at the junior AR-15 now. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's like not even Marlboro had the audacity to do all that.
Yeah, you were likening this to marketing cigarettes to kids. And I think that that is, yeah, not even, they had, they're like, look at this cool cowboy, and wouldn't you love to poison yourself like him and not baby skulls with pacifiers. We Tactical, it's called. Goodness. These are troubling times.
I was reading it. W-E-E. You got it, dude. That is the news director. You seeing what I can't?
Widow baby guns for widow babies, but they have wheel bullets. Sorry. It's
the defense mechanism. Is that what you're gonna say?
It's coping. It's hard to be able to sit here and talk about it. You know, there's not even time to digest and to mourn and to think about any of this stuff before the next one has happened. And, you know, there's the Onion article is now being reposted every single day.
I saw that the Onion sent, I saw that they posted, I'm like, oh, I thought I saw this before, but I'm like, maybe I'm tripping. And then I'm like, oh, they reposted this from like years ago. It's like,
they repost it every single time.
Yeah.
And now it's like been like what, 17 shootings since Uvalde. Look, people. The point is, the solution to the problem is limiting the amount of guns. I know everybody's really hyped up on the Second Amendment. I know shooting a gun out of range can be fun. I'm not going to deny those things. We're not trying to overturn the Second Amendment, but maybe we don't need people who have the intent to commit domestic terrorism to be able to get guns. That is not that important.
And I think that's maybe folks aren't aware that all the guns were purchased legally.
Yeah.
Legally purchased.
I believe the one in Buffalo, there was like a psychological flag that like should have ticked him from not getting the gun, but it didn't or something like that.
Well, that flag was red, white, and blue.
Hello. But yeah, so it's not even necessarily that there's some like black market or that people are, because that would still be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We still have incredible loopholes,
sure,
to try to purchase a gun, and there's not like waiting periods and like having any of it be flagged to like, hey, why are you trying to buy a gun right now, bud? Are you trying to go mow some people down?
Well,
like, that's not allowed.
It seems like all these agencies had intel, but why, like, is there not a hub? I don't understand. Like,
not to gas up the Patriot Act, but
I was just like
I thought that's where you were going.
I don't, like, there's, I don't, it's so,
it's not a priority.
I don't want to be booty clapping for, like,
no,
you know,
surveillance privacy.
Yes,
but
I don't,
it's out of control.
It's clearly
and there's like the idea that there's nothing that can be done, that there's nothing that can matter, and that so many times we've seen a mass shooting, a school shooting, and perhaps had the thought that, oh, this one will be heinous enough to change things. We thought that about Sandy Hook. We thought that about Columbine. We thought that about Parkland. Parkland was in 2018. And nothing has changed. There's no greater like protection for kids. There is now blaming teachers that don't have guns, or that schools have too many doors, or that people are allowed to get abortions, or that single moms exist, or that people are smoking weed, and that is why this is happening.
And it's not the thing that's going bang and night-night, you know?
It's not the thing that enables this action. There's one or two other things that I wanted to mention. One of them is that it's important to focus on what our legislators are supposed to be doing for us. And there's two different models that you can think about. Either they're deciding on what's best for the community, even if the people that elected them may have a different opinion, or it's their direct representation. What do the people from the district that elected me, what do they want me to do about this issue? And if your legislator is out there being bankrolled by the NRA,
sure,
to turn a blind eye to kids in your community being in danger, being killed, and saying there's nothing that we could do, and I sure hope that it doesn't happen again, misquoted Einstein quote that the definition of an insanity is doing the same thing again and again and again and expecting a different result. And what are we doing?
And to say that there isn't anything that we can do or just be like there was that one Ted Cruz interview where he was like, "You're making this political, bud," and he just like walked away. And it's he's good at walking away, it makes me wonder how out of touch are people with the institutions in their community that work on all of these type of things, you know? And the people that don't get paid and still show up, the people that are like on the streets and doing direct action, like they're still like they're, it doesn't just happen and then disappear. Like people collect data. People have, you know, if people have to, like, for example, apply for grants, those grants are all like, it's all data, you know? Why it's like these, to think that nothing can be done. No, it's not only can it be done, but it is being done. And there are people that are actively trying really hard and they need support from folks who maybe, you know, are busy and can't, you know, donate their time to, you know, for the cause. But then there are these big, for example, in this case, the NRA. And once they are in your bloodstream as a candidate, it's very hard to shake it off.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you are aware of who your candidates are being backed by and look a little bit deeper into their background, their history, and who they're being funded by, mm-hmm. Then it'll be easier to know, or hopefully it'll be easier to know what agenda they'll try to push once they're there, their agenda, you know, for their lobbyist or the community's agenda, which is usually ones that don't involve putting, guns in for children. This information is out there. So the despair, I don't know, the despair is, I understand despair. I definitely do. And it's scary, you know, and I can't imagine being a parent right now and sending your kid off to school or mm-hmm. I guess school. The kids are going to graduate like 2 days on a Thursday, that Thursday of that week.
Yeah, they were like a couple days from summer break.
Yeah. Can't imagine. You know, and I understand the despair and the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that, there are people who have felt that or have been affected and impacted by this, and they've
for years
became activated, mm-hmm. and things are, you know, being done, and there are marches, and things will change. They have to. Only it's a different generation. You know, you see any Gen Xers or even millennials being like, "Oh yeah, I'm okay with this." Like, this isn't. I don't think any founding anything or living anyone is interested in seeing any of this stuff happen or want to or even like bankroll it.
Yeah. And I think like, yeah. But also like it's a long, hard fight, clearly, because the progress has been slow, has been on the local level, has been, you know, local gun buybacks or education or more safety requirements. And it hasn't been as widespread as it needs to be in order for these types of things to stop happening, because it is a uniquely American problem, you know?
I think this is what you mean by American exceptionalism, right?
Yeah, yeah. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, this is what they were talking about, so that you could purchase a gun and do whatever you want with impunity. And I think and knowing that it's like hard work, that the people that are already in it need support, and that is a great way to, you know, push through the despair that these kinds of things inspire. And also understanding that we're talking about a lobbying group like the NRA, like they're bankrolled by the military industrial complex. They're bankrolled by these gun manufacturers who don't ever want to see their profits go down, who don't want to create a product even that would be safer or that would be like really like, you know, aimed at the part of the Second Amendment that people nobody's trying to take away hunting rifles. Like, if you want to have a gun and a gun safe to protect your house, like that's not really what people are worried about. It's like, why do you need to have an AR-15 outside an elementary school? Like, that's weird. We don't need to do that, you know? And that it profits off of this like perpetuation of terror inside the country, of not knowing what somebody might have concealed, and particularly, like, you know, a white fragile masculinity that that needs this type of tool in order to feel powerful, you know. And, you know, not going down the whole mental health road, because that hasn't been, also hasn't been dealt with, also isn't, like, treated as a real cause of this, but...
But God forbid...
There's plenty of people out here dealing with feelings of depression, of anxiety, of, you know, psychiatric issues that don't have a gun, that don't do this stuff. So that's not really the problem, is it? It's that they can get a lethal weapon with high-capacity magazines.
This is true. And I think it makes me think of the one interview that we had a while ago in the stat of, how was it, 50% of the gun owners or guns... okay, I'm not even going to... You made a face. I'm not
I just don't remember. A lot of
guns end up being used on on the gun owner. Like, they end up hurting themselves with
suicide,
it.
Suicide, yeah.
Yes.
And just, like, you know, misuse and injury.
Yeah, so... This is, yes, well, we are...
I think we made ourselves depressed.
Well, this is a... then I am very happy to play this next song.
Okay.
Because it touched me in a way that I knew this was going to be a difficult conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, what song am I going to put on? You could put a lot of effort and
okay, I'm excited to hear
this.
It. This is The Gap. We'll be back in a minute with a different topic.
Yes. See you soon.
Except for you and me. as we open our hearts and eyes to see. Whole world's gone crazy except for you and me. What's on the road up ahead of us? What's on the road coming up from behind?
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. Love that song.
Yeah. What's the song called?
This is Whole World's Gone Crazy by Toshi Regan. R-E-A-G-O-N. I got a phone call. You want to do an intro?
Yeah, sure. Can do. Well, hey, you're listening to The Gap. I'm Althea. That was Tammy. And we are now into the second half of our program. We're switching gears, folks. This is our community question segment. So if you do want to call in and talk to us, now is the time. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about rainbow washing, or just generally kind of like corporates co-opting or using social justice or identity to try to sell things and consumerism and stuff like that. So if you do want to call in about that, please do give us a call, 503-231-8187. We'd love to talk about it. Because we're right at the beginning of it. Of course, Pride Month for LGBTQ plus folks is a celebration, is a recognition of where the struggle started and where it is now. And part of what's happened is that corporations love to have a rainbow logo this month.
They're like, oh, right, yes, okay, this month, right? We do have a bunch of callers called in right now.
Oh, okay.
So let's get you on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
We can hear you. How are you?
So I would like everybody to get as many responsible folks as possible to show up in person, and also to boost it in every way you know how, and to provide funding and in-kind donations for Saturday, June 11th, March for Our Lives, which is being coordinated by high school students and senior citizens. You'll look at March for Our Lives, Saturday, June 11th, starting at 11 a.m. at PSU Urban Plaza, which is between Southwest 5th and 6th near Mill by the bookstore. And then we're going to march for about an hour, slowly, carefully, kindly, to the Portland Peace Memorial Park by the Steel Bridge. We want to have folks who will provide money and in-kind services for a large, very loud sound system on the back of a truck, canopies, rain protection, cheap see-through ponchos and umbrellas and torn fabric that would be for armbands that would color coordinate for the different services, food, water. Remember, these are teenagers who have skipped breakfast and lunch and they have growing bodies. We will need street medics. We will need people who will be painting large sheets that they can safely hang over overpasses like on Powell Boulevard, by Ross Island Bridge, on McLaughlin, over McLaughlin, on Milwaukee, for I-26, et cetera, to alert people of the upcoming events. We need to have folks who will be having their cars driving responsibly to protect folks at intersections. We need people on roller skates who will be handing out leaflets and maybe breath mints to inform and calm drivers at intersections. We will need to have folks providing snacks, and we will need to have folks providing or loaning walkie-talkies. Get all the word out to folks. You might be color coding. You might be getting buying stuff for us to use. But we need to have as many people as possible. We'd like to have some people pay some money for wheelchair van buses for accessibility for folks who have been shot or folks who want to participate. We need to have the stroller brigade. We need to have folks who will be signing American Sign Language and interpreters. We will need to have folks who will be escorting and comforting folks. We will need to have mental health trauma experts providing care in purple. We will need faith witnesses. We will need legal observers. We'll need to have folks who will be on the periphery checking out for anyone looking like they're trying to cause trouble and to prevent them from getting near the march. So please check out March for Our Lives, Saturday, June 11th, 11 a.m., starting at PSU Urban Plaza, going through Portland and getting to the Peace Memorial Park near the Steel Bridge in the Lloyd Center.
Whoa, thank you so much, Edie. Really, really appreciate it. Is there a website or anything for folks who may have not caught all of that info?
Yes. You can look at March for Our Lives in Portland. There's a Facebook event. You can also look at the national website, and then it'll go to events, and you'll put in Portland and get the one nearest you. You can go to the Portland Great Panthers website, and maybe you could advocate for folks on KBOO to have it at different talk shows. We also would like folks to use your vans and cars as billboards parked along commute routes, or having large signs or sheets or on PVC or rolling closet rods like that, that will alert people as they're driving to and from work or stores or places of worship about this and where to go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
We
really appreciate this. Yes.
Donated first aid supplies.
Okay. You got covered all of that. We really appreciate you, Eden, and we hope that folks heard all of that at March for Our Lives and on the Facebook. And thank you so much for bringing all this to our attention.
Oh, I forgot to say, we want to have folks help distribute clipboards with petitions for signing for Oregon Initiative Petition 17 and 18 to limit the magazine capacity to 10 people can kill in a second. The automatic weapons. You can go to Lift Our Voices and find out about the petition. So look forward to seeing everybody and getting your responses. Love you very much.
Thank you, Edie. Thank you.
I found some of those links that she was talking about, so I can add those to our web page.
Show notes, kbo.fm/thegap.
That's us.
See, there it is, that activation.
Thank you.
Activation.
Got a week to plan. Got a week to get ready. If other folks want to call in, we're trying to talk about pride and rainbow washing, but you know,
this is where we're at. I'm okay with this.
It is a good place to be. 503-231-8187 is the number.
I think also, if there are like events that folks are doing for pride and Juneteenth, let us not forget, because Walmart definitely didn't forget.
Hello. Yeah, I know. You got to talk about that.
the Juneteenth ice cream. They're like, we're sorry. This is what happened when you just have the same people having these at these meetings, like when there's no one at the table that's like, don't do that. That's a little cringier. Like, that seems like a very disrespectful thing to do. Maybe you should lay off of that. I'd love to hear that, kind of like the counter to all of this. What is this? It was rainbow wash and capitalism. Got some phone calls.
Yeah. If you want to give us a call, 503-231-8187. If you don't feel like calling, you can always, of course, send us a letter if you like. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, KB Radio. You can always send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com.
Yes, we would really appreciate that. And it's about that time for all the events to happen. All these things are popping off. And we do have another caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
There you are. Yes, we can.
So hypothetically, and I would say more than hypothetically, there's intersectionality, as you all know, between different issues. And, for example, Harvey Milk was assassinated with a gun a few years ago in San Francisco. Some of us are from California. So in terms of civil rights, freedom from gun violence, the lack of movement by elected officials. I was noticing that one caller, I know you're trying to focus on rainbow washing, but for the North Shore Lives in Portland, there's another location. It's called, for people to find out information, it's Gray, G-R-A-Y, Panthers, Portland, Oregon, on Facebook as well. Do y'all have thoughts about, it sounds like you were expressing in the first part of your program today, the lack of meaningful systemic change based on, I guess, mainstream media and elected people saying that it's kind of hopeless to ban assault weapons or ban high-capacity magazines. Is that correct, or you don't feel completely hopeless?
I think we don't feel completely hopeless since we're, you know, talking about the activists here and activists everywhere who are working on it, but definitely talking some about politicians and their response and how, you know, just off base, out of touch, ludicrous a lot of it is. I think that was what we were wanting to highlight, and how, you know, there we can't just wait for there to be something heinous enough to bring people to their senses, you know.
Well, I think you may probably know tons about Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg. They sort of organized March for Our Lives. That's our Parkland. They were
right.
Parkland students. And there's going to be 400 cities participating in this nationally. The big march and protest will be in Washington, D.C. In Oregon, out of Portland State, we've found some more activist elected officials that have. There's a part of this is there's a boycott against Walmart for. Gun reform to push Walmart as a big corporation to push Congress to go around the NRA and the lobbyists. Republican senators who are in power at the moment will tend to listen to businesses. The Walmart boycott is also endorsed by some local elected officials like Dr. Lisa Reynolds, who's a state rep and who volunteers with Moms Demand Action, and Dr. Sharon Mirren, who's also a lawyer. She's running for county chair with Jessica Vega Peterson there in a runoff in November. So I would say Harvey Milk, I think this is the day that Robert Kennedy was killed in 1968 as a progressive politician when he was running for president, among other things, to try to stop violence and the Vietnam War. So I think there's tons of things that people can do, and KBOO's always been a stalwart for years of empowering local organizing, which is great. Do you have any other thoughts on either the? You didn't really get to talk so far about the rainbow washing angle.
Yeah, we're getting there, Tammy.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate all of your input, Lou, and hopefully we'll hear you again. You take care.
Sure. Bye.
We have just about 10 more minutes left for the show, and we'll have, again, all this info up on the website later on. And if anyone wants to call in, we still have just
we
about
do still
a couple
have time.
More minutes.
We
yes.
do still have time. 503-231. No, we're not
8187.
Okay, there
and
we
if,
go. We
if
got
you
there.
Got confused, it's 503-231-8187.
I like that we said it at the same time.
Yeah, it's serendipitous.
Serendipitous. Unity. But yeah, no, run us through some of this rainbow washing stuff.
Sure. So, well, in one aspect of it, where do I start? Where do I finish?
Do you want to do the Juneteenth ice cream one?
Yes, the Juneteenth. Where is it? There. Oh, also, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but mm-hmm. in another article that I seen, I think it was on the Griot, but in this article by Tatiana Yomari, they were discussing about all the pushback that just the online community, I don't say online community, the people, because this
yeah.
is how we express our dislike
the
of things.
The people who are online.
There's this one part that a Twitter user wrote, I love how we ask y'all things like, stop killing us, stop stealing / profiting off our culture, give us equal opportunities, and Walmart... Walmart says, best we can do is an ice cream flavor and some Juneteenth packaging.
Yeah.
And also Juneteenth is a federal holiday now, too. But what about the federal, hate crime bills? What's going on?
What about re-upping on the Voting Rights Act? Could we do that? And the other thing that, if you haven't heard about this, Walmart brand Juneteenth ice cream, they essentially stole the flavor and, setup for it from a Black-owned ice cream brand that created a flavor for it. So Walmart has taken it off the shelves, which I guess is kind of the least that they could do. But yeah, that's definitely one of these instances of, you know, trying to capitalize off of social movements by corporations. And certainly I think that there's going to be some interesting statistics this year, especially with all of the anti-gay and anti-trans legislation that we've seen push through. The latest, I was looking at figures from 2020 and 2019 about corporations, you know, changing their logos and tweeting about how important, you know, Pride is and how much they're for everybody, but still donating to legislators that are creating legislation to stop trans kids from getting health care or not being able to say gay in school.
It makes me think of that dude again just like abortions being the reason why mass shootings happen. It's like, where are your priorities at? Like, who's, you know, Lou did make an interesting point about how some folks in government only listen to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really unfortunate because it makes me think, you know, remember back in the day, you say, vote with your dollar.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of like got away from that into like more like holding these corporations accountable because a monster was created.
Mm.
I'm reading this a little bit more. So apparently, and this is, so two sources have confirmed this, that the flavor of ice cream was actually stolen from a black-owned business.
Yeah, for the Juneteenth one. Yeah.
This is pretty bad. This is really bad.
If that doesn't make you feel icky, good for you. You couldn't be a corporate ad exec. if that strikes you as, hey, that seems a little screwed up. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
You did not pass the test.
If you're like, no, that's perfect. People will love that.
Well, it's again, these things are happening, and I don't know why I'm on this whole phrase of in the sobering daylight, but in the sobering light of the daylight,
yes,
people are doing these things and saying these things, proudly and standing. Well, in this case, they had to I think they took it off the market, but it's like you're so. Oh my God, it's like American Express and the Black Lives Matter thing. It's like, come on, like your bread and butter is oppression. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is pink washing and environment? Oh my goodness.
Greenwashing.
It's so gross. And
stop washing when you're as dirty as you are. Does that work? Mm. Corporations being dirty because the phrase is washing. I don't know. Continue. Sorry, I'll work on it.
We're workshopping.
I'll workshop. I'm gonna come up with an idiom, you guys. You're gonna love it. Keep going.
And I wonder if all of this, because I guess it's like, you know, so now I don't know. Maybe it'll like raise the public consciousness somehow together when we're like, oh yeah, we shouldn't be doing that. And then people ask the question, well, why shouldn't we be doing that? And then kind of. You know, what is it, unraveling, but like taking the peels off of it and really getting down to the nucleus of things.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been, for example, there's been a Juneteenth Oregon that's been happening for, you know, decades, right?
Yeah.
But it's gotten more traction and more attention in the last few years. So maybe hopefully it'll get more support and more like, you know, it'll get showcased more and have more support and not... the opposite in where it gets co-opted by like a white organization or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you'd think that you'd know where, what's this? It's sometimes allyship stops at capitalism's door.
Mm.
Got some good ones today. And it.
Keep going. I love this.
And it doesn't. And it's that's when you know who's friend or foe. You know, that's where you cross the line between accomplice. Or just like, you know, neoliberal capitalist, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't, with all this being said, hopefully all of this just being, you know, brought up to the public consciousness and then people can choose to learn, you know? And then it'll be a little bit clearer or have a little bit more of like a holistic understanding of what's happening. And it, all of these events that have been happening, hopefully will have a little bit more support this year.
Yeah.
And Juneteenth and Pride, like it's going to go off. Like I know I'm going to go to the Juneteenth in Milwaukee. A friend of mine is helping organize it. So, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
And you know, one thing to just maybe point out is like a redirect on some of this stuff.
Sure.
Great time to find black-owned, queer-owned businesses in your community, small businesses, because you know that they're not so big that they're bankrolling every legislator
right.
across, you know, like states and stuff. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Just people in your community that with small businesses that can meet your needs that, you know, You don't need Walmart to do Pride. You can do things in locally to support folks, to support business owners, all that kind of stuff. If you wanna put your dollar towards Pride,
right? If there is, which again, that support is needed, especially for folks who've been marginalized and folks who've been oppressed. And there is some great stuff happening in town. I don't know if we can even, we'll have this in the show notes.
We can put it in the show notes. I don't know if we can plug. And we are running out of time.
Yes, we are running out of time.
So thank you everybody so much for listening. This has been The Gap. I'm Althea. This is Tammy.
Yay.
We've had a lovely time speaking with you this morning. And we hope that everybody keeps their chins up and keeps looking out for action.
You want me to play that song again for you, Althea?
Yeah, give me a little taste of the song.
I'll give you the song again.
We'll be
so
back
much.
Next week. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
On the road up ahead of us, what's on the road?